Practice Test. Listening. Part 1. You will hear three different extracts. For questions 1 to 6, choose the answer A, B, or C, which fits best according to what you hear. There are two questions for each extract. Extract 1. You hear two university students talking about stories. Now look at questions 1 and 2.
People say we don't need much of an attention span these days, but if you look at something like, say, a TV series, and there are different branches of the story to keep up with over a long period, only being able to concentrate for a short time is going to be pretty useless. Think about the number of characters you have to remember, and that's without the complexities of the plot.
But longer series are great for character development, and writers seem to be moving towards longer books too. They can really explore a character and engage readers. That's why they're on the up.
It's true that short stories aren't that popular. Going back to attention spans, you'd think if people really had difficulty concentrating, they'd choose to read those, not longer books, which is not actually the case.
It's a shame they don't, though. I think sometimes one page can say what a whole novel takes about 400 to do. There's irrelevant detail in a novel too, which really irritates me.
Ironically, something short needs even more attention because it isn't all spelled out for us, so we need to think about it more. People say we don't need much of an attention span these days, but if you look at something like, say, a TV series, and there are different branches of the story to keep up with over a long period, only being able to concentrate for a short time is going to be pretty useless. Think about the number of characters you have to remember, and that's without the complexities of the plot.
But longer series are great for character development, and writers seem to be moving towards longer books too. They can really explore a character and engage readers. That's why they're on the up.
It's true that short stories aren't that popular. Going back to attention spans, you'd think if people really had difficulty concentrating, they'd choose to read those, not longer books, which is not actually the case.
It's a shame they don't, though. I think sometimes one page can say what a whole novel takes about 400 to do. There's irrelevant detail in a novel too, which really irritates me.
Ironically, something short needs even more attention because it isn't all spelled out for us, so we need to think about it more.
Extract 2. You hear part of a radio program in which two people are talking about computer games. Now look at questions 3 and 4.
We're all using digital technology more these days, but it can be isolating, in spite of the fact that we use it for social networking. So, when it comes to playing games, it's understandable that digital multiplayer games are featuring more and more. I feel strongly that even this can't replace the personal connection.
Well, we're living in an age where digital information networks get into every aspect of our lives. In a way, games are a cultural reflection of this. Playing against another person lets you try something out, play with cause and effect in a safe environment, no personal contact. In that sense, digital games are helpful.
People want leisure activities that let them actively interact. I think board games fulfill our need for the face-to-face contact we used to have. With board games, we're doing something but also connecting with each other on a personal level. And so they're becoming popular again.
But you have to look at this surge in the popularity of board games in context. there's a big retro trend going on now, you know, like with clothes and even vinyl records. So it's also true that most keen digital games players are board game enthusiasts. It's niche, but significant.
We're all using digital technology more these days, but it can be isolating, in spite of the fact that we use it for social networking. So when it comes to playing games, it's understandable that digital multiplayer games are featuring more and more. I feel strongly that even this can't replace the personal connection.
Well, we're living in an age where digital information networks get into every aspect of our lives. In a way, games are a cultural reflection of this. Playing against another person lets you try something out, play with cause and effect in a safe environment, no personal contact. In that sense, digital games are helpful.
People want leisure activities that let them actively interact. I think board games fulfill our need for the face-to-face contact we used to have. With board games, we're doing something but also connecting with each other on a personal level. And so they're becoming popular again.
But you have to look at this surge in the popularity of board games in context. There's a big retro trend going on now, you know, like with clothes and even vinyl records. So it's also true that most keen digital games players are board game enthusiasts. It's niche, but significant.
Extract 3. You hear two archaeologists talking about the role of technology in preserving the past. Now look at questions 5 and 6.
Technology is generally used for archiving information. There's this idea that it's part of a long progression which began with the first written records on stone tablets and continued developing without a hitch to the present day's sophisticated level of storing data. Whereas, in fact, it can actually be compared to the science of biology, which had ups and downs and many species along the way simply died off and never made it.
Archivists joke about how digital information either lasts forever or 5 years, whichever comes first. What they mean is it's ridiculously intricate because formats change, operating systems get updated, and the hardware running those systems becomes outdated and unusable.
So, over the long term, things we'd like to pass on from now might actually be more difficult for future generations to access than, for example, finding out about a dead civilization from actual relics.
We can certainly learn a lot about past civilizations simply by digging up clay tablets. But there's the possibility of an enormous gap in history covering the period from the rise of the internet to whenever we reach a point in the future where methods of archiving are fixed and accessible.
It's still important to archive, though. Technology is generally used for archiving information. There's this idea that it's part of a long progression which began with the first written records on stone tablets and continued developing without a hitch to the present day's sophisticated level of storing data. Whereas, in fact, it can actually be compared to the science of biology, which had ups and downs and many species along the way simply died off and never made it.
Archivists joke about how digital information either lasts forever or 5 years, whichever comes first. What they mean is it's ridiculously intricate because formats change, operating systems get updated, and the hardware running those systems becomes outdated and unusable.
So, over the long term, things we'd like to pass on from now might actually be more difficult for future generations to access than, for example, finding out about a dead civilization from actual relics.
We can certainly learn a lot about past civilizations simply by digging up clay tablets. But there's the possibility of an enormous gap in history covering the period from the rise of the internet to whenever we reach a point in the future where methods of archiving are fixed and accessible.
It's still important to archive, though.
That's the end of part one. Now turn to part two.